to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. We've looking at the Ten Commandments. Last week we got to the first commandment, which we see in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Again, each commandment has requirements. Each commandment has prohibitions, things that are prohibited. That is so here in the first commandment. We began looking at the requirements of this command, and a knowledge of God is required. You cannot obey the commandment if there's not a knowledge of God, and by that we simply mean some degree of understanding who God is, some recognition of who God is, some comprehension, a grasp of who He is. You'll never obey the first commandment until there is a knowledge of God, not just the knowledge of the existence of a God, but a knowledge of God. We see also that the requirement is that God have the preeminence. The more we know who God is, the more compelled we are to give Him the preeminence, the more we see the need to give Him the preeminence. Again, someone who knows God, someone who claims they know God, and yet does not give Him the preeminence, well, that's the height of foolishness. Really, when it gets down to it, if God is not given the preeminence, then one doesn't really have a comprehension of who God is. Again, in the first two verses of Exodus 20, we have the preface leading up to the commandments. He tells us that He is God. That's where we begin. God. It's where everything begins. We see that He is our God. We see that He is our Redeemer. And then it leads right into the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He is saying, I am number one. I am number one. I am foremost. I am the most important. Now, it's very easy for someone to say, well, I believe God's the most important, and then live as if He's the least important. So again, profession doesn't always line up with practice. I am the most prominent. Therefore, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, when we put something ahead of God, He's no longer number one in our life. We no longer consider Him the most important or the most prominent. This first commandment is teaching us that God must be the main focal point of our lives. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And no other is a broad term. It includes in anything and everything or anybody. So the teaching is that God is the main focal point. He's the purpose of life. He's the object. He's the aim of our life. So the duty of the first commandment is to make God our chief end. God is to be first. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is, God is never, ever to come next. And when we put anything ahead of God, anytime God comes next, we have broken the first commandment. So God is saying here, in every aspect, in every area of your life, I must be first, never second. And this is foundational. This is the foundation of the other nine commands. You break this commandment, you're going to break the others as well. In fact, it's pretty hard to break this commandment and not profane the name of the Lord. And it's this commandment that leads to the profaning of the Sabbath. And on we can go. So this is foundational. So if we have broken one of the other commandments, what we need to do is get back to the first commandment. That's where it began. We broke the first commandment. We put something ahead of God. And that's where repentance has to take us. You can't just repent of, let's say, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, I'm going to repent of the adultery. Well, you ought to. But it's got to go back further than that. Where you got off track was you put a woman or a man ahead of God. That's where it got off track. And you need to go all the way back there and repent of breaking the first commandment. So again, this is foundational. So the first commandment requires that God be preeminent. It requires that God be recognized as master above all else. Notice in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man, that is, there are no exceptions. No man. Well, what if no man? Well, what if no man? We need to understand that. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he gives an example. Ye cannot, again, we need to understand those two words, ye cannot serve God and mammon, that which is material. Not just money, but that which is material. So the thou shalt not have any other gods before me requires that we do not have two masters. Requires that we have one supreme master. Now we all know that you have bosses at work, you have people that you are under. That's life. But none of those individuals are to ever take the place of God. None of those individuals have more sway than God. I've heard all my ministry, well, you don't understand. I have to work on Sunday. No, you don't. You've bought into a lie, and you have placed another master ahead of the Lord. God demand in the first command, and here in Matthew 6, verse 21, God demands undivided loyalty. And any time an earthly master tells us that we have to do something that would take away our loyalty to God, if we obey them, we're serving them. And if we obey them, we've put another God. And you can come up with all the excuses you want to, but again, it comes back to no man. And ye cannot. Well, I have to support my family. Yes, you do. God knows that. He'll provide. He'll provide. He will. So God demands undivided loyalty in the first command. We see it here in Matthew 6, verse 21. There is no middle course. Well, I'll give in on this one Sunday. I guarantee you it will not end at one Sunday. And I guarantee you, unless you repent, you will give in on Sunday 2, Sunday 3, Sunday 4. God is telling us in the first commandment, there is no middle ground. What is it that we don't understand? There is no middle ground. Nothing is to compete with Him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means nothing is to compete with me. Nothing. And as soon as we look at it as competition, you know, people will say, well, I have a decision to make. Well, you shouldn't. It's black and white. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, pray for me that I make the right decision. Well, the right decision is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And there's no, you shouldn't have to go through a decisional process. The decision is easy. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You either obey it or you don't. Very simple. So, this first command is, nothing is to compete with God. Matthew 6, verse 24 takes us into verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why is it that people don't seek first the kingdom of God? It's because they have other masters. It's because they put other things ahead of God. You keep God preeminent. You keep God number one, and you will seek first the kingdom of God. You put other things ahead of God, and the obvious progression is you are going to seek other things rather than God. So the first commandment requires that God be recognized as master above all else. Well, you don't understand. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. What's the opportunity? To forsake God? That's not an opportunity, that's a disaster. We misidentify opportunities. I have this opportunity, but you got to understand, God's got to take second place for me to take advantage of this. You're not taking advantage of the opportunity you have is to put God number one. That's your opportunity. Everything else is a disaster. Secondly, thou shalt have no other gods before me requires that God be reverenced, that God be esteemed above all else. Nothing competes with God. No one competes with God. Well, you don't understand. I'm married to a lost person, and to have peace at home, I have to do such and such. No, you don't. No, you don't. You obey God, and you'll be amazed at what He does. Disobeying God will not fix your problem at home. It won't fix it. Oh, it may give you peace for a few minutes, but depravity hasn't been changed, and believe me, the peace is short-lived. And pretty soon you got to do something else to keep peace a little longer, and pretty soon you've forsaken God. Because you've esteemed something else ahead of the Lord. So this commandment requires that God be reverenced and esteemed above all else. That He be regarded above all others. Again, nothing is to compete with Him. He is to be reverenced above all. This is wisdom. Notice in Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28 and verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. That's reverence. To reverence God, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. It's wise to reverence God. It's amazing. How many people are trying to decide on whether or not they should do something that puts God second, third, fourth, whatever?
and they'll say, pray that God give me wisdom. Well, if you reverence God, that is wisdom. And if you reverence God, you won't have to struggle with this decision. Reverence God is wisdom. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, we see it that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's only the beginning. So if we do not reverence God, we haven't even hit the beginning of wisdom. And again, reverence of God is the beginning, and it grows from there. But it begins with a reverence for God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Requires that God be loved above all else. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, we can see how guilty we are of breaking the first commandment. And all repentance has to get back to there. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. There's not a period there. That's not where it stops. With all thine heart. We do not achieve that in this life. No one can honestly say, I love God with every fiber of my being. Because our life proves that we don't. Thou shalt love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So, God is to be loved above all else. That doesn't diminish our love for our children, or love for spouse, or love for friends. That doesn't diminish that love. It just gives an order of love, a priority of love. And that is, God must be loved above all else. He must be. And the first thing that we have to conquer is He has to be loved above ourselves. That's where we get in trouble. We love ourselves more than God. And that, of course, throws us off. Also, thou shalt have no other gods before me requires that God be desired above all else. That God be desired above all else. Deuteronomy 73 and 25. The psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but thee? We need to come to that realization before we can take the next step. We have to realize there's nothing on this earth that can replace God. There's nothing on this earth that can do for me, for my family, what God can do. So we have to come to that realization, and most never get there. Well, you have to understand, I have a couple more years to retire, and then, the then won't come. Because the couple of years of retirement is not the problem. The problem is that you think that retirement is going to replace or is more beneficial than God. So we have to come to this realization. There's nothing more important than God. Nothing. And then it says, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. If I realize that God is everything I need, if I realize that God can do more for me than anyone else or anything else, then again, the natural progression is, I'm going to desire Him above all else. Which leads us to the conclusion that if we do not desire Him above all else, it is because we do not believe that He is above all else. Which is a real problem. But again, most of the time, the real problem is not addressed. In Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 26, speaking of this desire for the Lord. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Desire and seeking go hand in hand. You desire something, you will seek it. And you seek what you desire. So, our life speaks volumes. It's amazing what people will chase. It's amazing what they'll go through to chase that thing. That speaks volumes. More than they realize. But it satisfies most for these individuals to say, well, you know that I love God and you know that God is first in my life. No, I don't know that. How would I know that? How would anyone know that? Your life says something completely different. So this is so important. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It requires that God be acknowledged above all others. Above all others. No one should be fearful of telling their boss, listen, sir, ma'am, whatever, God is first in my life. You can fire me if you want to. I was looking for a job when I found this one, and God provided it, and He'll provide another one. I mean, it's simple. God must be acknowledged. He must be acknowledged above all others. In all, Proverbs 3, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We're to acknowledge God above all others. Not to acknowledge humans above God. Not even to put them on the same level. Nothing is to compete with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is to be chosen above all else. Again, if we're to have no other gods before Him, then it's just common sense. God must be chosen above everything else. Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Choose ye this day. No, let's go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. There's something here that many people read over. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. You say, well, it would never seem evil to me to serve the Lord. Oh, it happens all the time. When we put other things ahead of God. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now that challenge is based upon if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Then you have another choice. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Now what's their choice? Or the gods of the Amorites. It's a choice between false gods. You deny God, and then you can make your choice from there in which God you will serve. But it won't be God. It'll be false gods. So it requires that God be chosen above all else. Anytime we make a choice that results in God being put next, we've made the wrong choice. You've made the wrong choice. Again, it may be a choice that it does not become obvious right immediately, but down the road you see this choice has caused me to put a lot of other things ahead of God. You made the wrong choice way back there. You made the wrong choice. Have to choose God. You choose God, you cannot go wrong. You choose against God. God may be merciful. And God may be gracious. And God may be good to you. But it won't be because you made that choice. How many times people make the mistake, well, God must be okay with it. He blessed me. God's merciful, and you ought to be thankful. That doesn't mean, just because God is good to us, doesn't mean that we made the right choice. It'd have been a lot better. Yeah, good things happen, but it would have been a lot better if you'd have made the right choice. So the first commandment requires that God be chosen above all else. And really, in most things, we try to complicate it. And any time you remove God, you do complicate things. But in most cases, in most decisions that we have to make, the choice is really pretty simple. It's pretty obvious. But we get all the what ifs. Well, you know, this person says this and this. Well, there's where you went wrong. You see, you put their opinion ahead of God. You broke the first commandment. And now you're going to go off course. So the first commandment has many, many requirements. And under this requirement of God being preeminent, we could go on for the rest of our lives on examples and how we give God the preeminence. And He must have the preeminence. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Nothing. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, for the commandments that You give us to direct our lives and to put boundaries around our lives for our own protection, for our own good. And we thank You, Lord, for that. We pray that You would just help us to be mindful of Your commands. Help us, Lord, to strive to obey Your commands. Help us, Lord, to seek Your help to obey. Lord, help us to always be mindful of You. And we pray, Lord, that as we worship You today, that You'd help us. Help us, Lord, to give You all the honor and all the glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.